Shalom in Jesus' name to you all. We've all heard these famous quotes. I gotta get there by. I need to be there at work by. It's going down at. Buy one, get one today, only at. Or nope, you can only get this at. Or how about this one? I'll pay you back for what you did to me. Or someday you'll get yours. How about this one? You won't get away with that. I'll see to it. What do they all have in common? They all have that place where it's going to happen. See, it's said that there's a time and place for everything. That's in Ecclesiastes. Our feel this week brings us to quote unquote that place, according to the Word of God. We'll visit Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 34 through 35, Romans 12, 18 through 20, Hebrews 10, 29 through 31, and others. We got to get to that place and wait on the Lord faithfully. We need to give the Lord that place, the opportunity, if you will, to do what He does. Allow the Lord to be the Lord in that place. That place is real and important in our journey in faith with the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 34 through 36, it says, is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. And the things to come hasten upon them. For the Lord will judge His people and have compassion on His servants when He sees that their power is gone and there is no one remaining, bond or free. All right, let's look into this. He says, vengeance is His, not ours. Vengeance is His, not ours. He told me to say it again. Vengeance is His, not ours. You see, we must allow that place for His vengeance to manifest. Although it may appear that they are getting away with the evil deeds, we got to get to that place of faith. We're reading right here. It is written, it says, their foot shall slip in due time. Their foot shall slip in due time. Is that my time or your time? No. In due time. And only the Lord knows when that due time is. It says, for the day of their calamity is at hand. Do we know when that's going to be at hand? No, we don't. But He does. And the things to come hasten upon them. It's going to come upon them. They're not getting away with it. So don't worry about those folks. Get to that place of faith. Don't try to take revenge for yourself. You see, there's no need. There is no need for us to take matters into our own hands. Because do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, says Romans 12:21. We as children of God are not like the world's children. We have clear and concise directions from the Lord and His Word. But the world's children, they can change at any time, depending on how it fits their moment or their needs or their wants or what they think at that any given, just what they want at that time. Yes. Oh yeah. It takes effort on our part to get to that place. But hey, we belong to the Most High God. And guess what? We can get there every time. You hear me? Every time. How can we get there every time, you say? If we choose to. It's a choice we have to make to get to that place. You see, we are able. We are more than able because of His Word. How His Word strengthens us. How His Word guides us. How His words will direct our steps. We can get there. We are more than able. But the question is really, are we willing? Are we willing? You see, because of life circumstances, there could be things going on in our lives that we choose to not get to that place because of things. Things. Are we willing? We are able. Are we willing? You know, you're probably able. I'm more than able to eat, you know, a couple of cookies. But am I willing to put myself through that if I know that it makes my tummy hurt? Am I willing to go through that pain? I'm able to say no. I'm able to say yes. What am I willing to do? Am I willing to sacrifice the pain in my stomach for that yummy taste? Such is life. Are we willing to stand on the word of God and maybe go through a little pain, or what others may call pain because they disagree with us? It's not pain. It's how you see it. Look at it through the lens of the Most High. Look at it through His word. See, because He says, my thoughts are not yours. My ways are not yours. So it's pretty clear He doesn't see it the same way the world does. Therefore, as last week, we had two different views. Amen. Verse 18. I'm sorry. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 18 through 20. Got these broken down into the verses. I apologize. So, Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Wow. Amen. So we're told in verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It says to give place to wrath. Give place to wrath. We're told, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. We got to get that place for the Lord to have His wrath. That place where the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But see, we got to get out of His way. But no, we get impatient. We want to take it on our own hands, don't we? I got this. I'll take care of this. But we're reading right here. It's very clear. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place. We got to get the opportunity for the Lord to have His vengeance and to repay. Yes, I'll say it again. Our directions from His word is pretty clear. You see, so how can we say with conviction that we didn't know after reading the word of God and what it says? We took matters into our own hands and didn't turn out well. What else should we expect? What else should we expect? Based off the word says, do not avenge for yourselves, and then you do it anyway. How can we expect anything good to come from it if our intents are not good and we don't wait on the Lord for His vengeance? We got to get to that place. Give the Lord an opportunity to have His wrath and repay. Let me ask you this. How do you like it when that person, and we've all probably run into them, that person asks you a question, but before you can even say a word, they answer it for you? Not even giving you what? That place to speak. You don't even get the opportunity. That's what we do to the Lord. Yeah, we do it. How do we do it, you say? Oh, we ask for help through prayer, but we get impatient because it's not happening when we think it should happen. And then what do? We take matters into our own hands. Question for you. How did it turn out? You see, there is that place where His vengeance and repayment will occur. But it's on His time, not ours. We may or may not even see it. It's up to Him, not us. We just need to create that place, give Him that opportunity, give Him that moment, so that vengeance and repayment will occur. We got to get there. And again, doing so, why don't you just go ahead and heap them hot coals on their head by feeding them and giving them something to drink. Now we're moving on to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. And it says, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose he will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Wow, how about that? Amen. He said, how much worse punishment do you suppose for that one who trampled the Son of God underfoot? How much more punishment for them? Whew, man. You see, it will not, I repeat, it will not go unpunished when one goes up against the living God. What have they done? They've entered that place of war against the Lord. Vengeance and wrath from the Lord will come. For we just read, is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God when one's come up against him. How much worse the punishment? For us, it says in Hebrews 12:6, the Lord chastises those he loves. But what about those who are against him? Ouch. For those out there in the world who are against the living God, they won't have to answer to him, for he repays. There's no getting around it. We're told in the Bible, sowing, reaping, God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. If that's what they're putting out there, it's going to come back. It will be addressed. They're not getting away with anything. You see, children of God, don't fall into that place of compromise when it comes to the Word of God against the crowd of evildoers and their beliefs. Because they will say this, they will say that. They will threaten this, they will threaten that. But Jesus is very clear in Matthew 12:30. He says, he who is not with me is against me. Those are his words. He who is not with me is against me. That's what Jesus said. So no one can say, oh, my Jesus wouldn't do that. If that goes up against what Jesus says, what does he say here? He who is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30. But you see, what society, what the world, what family members, friends, relatives, and the sort, what they will do, what will they do? They will try the guilt thing. By what? Playing on our emotions, playing on our feelings. Why? You see, because God didn't make us weak. Everything we have in us is strong. Our emotions and our feelings are so strong. Why do you think we struggle so much? God didn't make any junk. Everything he put in us is 100% strong. That's why we struggle against our emotions and our feelings. For we're even told in the Word that our spirit is fighting against the flesh. See, we have these strong feelings and emotions, but we're also told not to be led by them. We are not to be led by our feelings and emotions. You know, how many of us in the past have made decisions based off of our emotions or our feelings? And then we find out later, bad move. Yep, I did that based on my feelings and emotions, how I was feeling at that time. Or how about this example? Someone who belongs to Jesus, let's say a child of God, fellow believer, says, quote unquote, I don't feel him with me. You know, have you heard a believer say, I don't feel him with me, I'm not sure if he's there? Well, guess what? Their feelings just lied. Because Jesus is very clear when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Hebrews 13:5. So if he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and your feelings say, he's not around, who's lying? Your feelings are lying, because Jesus is not a man that he should lie. Jesus is not a liar. He says, I am the truth. He is the Word. He is the truth. He speaks the truth. And he says, the truth will set you free. the truth will set you free. And he says that he's the truth, so he will set you free. So if he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, don't allow your feelings, your emotions, or what's going on at the time to tell you that he's not with you. Because he clearly says in Hebrews 13:5, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So children of God, be careful. Be careful, extremely careful of that place of guilt or shame. Because you know why? That's not how the living God sees you. But the enemy would love to get us in a place of guilt, a place of shame, bringing up our past, bringing up past failures or past sins. But God is very clear in his word. When we repent and we give it to him, he says, I will remember your sins no more. So if the Most High says to you and me, I will remember your sins no more, who are we? Who is the enemy? Who is anyone else to keep bringing that stuff up when he says, I've wiped that clean with my son's blood? Stop bringing it up. We got to get to that place. Get to that place when you know that you are free and clear. Don't be in that place of guilt or shame, because it will stop you from moving forward. Now here's some more scriptures about that place. And our first example is Leviticus 16:2. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come just at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. You see that? It was important for Moses to tell Aaron, bro, don't go in there at any time. Don't go in any time, because if you do, you can die. No, the Lord set a time and a place for that to happen. He says, lest he die, for I will appear in a cloud above the mercy seat. What? At his time. Our next one, Deuteronomy 16:16. It says, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now look at this. Again, we're giving times and places for who? The males to appear before the Lord. And it says, which he chooses. They don't choose the place. We're not reading, hey, Lord, I'll meet you here because that's, you know, it's convenient for me. I'll just meet you here. No, you meet where he says meet, and you meet when he says to meet. And at the end of that, it says, they shall not appear before the Lord empty handed. They shall not appear before the Lord empty handed. Here it is, Deuteronomy 16:16. We're talking about that place. Three times a year, it was three different times, three different places in which this had to take place. Our next scripture is in 1 Chronicles 21:29. For the tabernacle of the Lord and their altar of burnt offering, which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at that time at the high place in Gibeon. So they're talking about the tabernacle of the Lord was where? A certain time and in a certain place. That place, a high place in Gibeon, it was at a place. And there was a time. Again, there's a time and a place. The Lord's time, the Lord's place. We got to get in tune with his time and his place. It's not for him to get in tune of what we think is our time and our place. It doesn't work that way when you belong to God. That's how the world does it. They do everything based off of, well, this is how we want it done, and this is how we say, and this is when you need to do it. The Lord says, well, it's on my time. My will be done. Isn't that what the word says? Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say, Lord, my will be done in your earth and in your heaven. Our next verse, Luke chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." What words? The words will be fulfilled in their own time, that his wife, Elizabeth, was about to have a son. He was told to name him John. This is John the Baptist. But his dad, Joseph, wasn't in agreement. So he has had his mouth shut. And it says he was not able to speak until the day, which means a time and a place. That place that he would be able to speak again wouldn't be until what? This child was born. That place. That place. Our next one, Revelation chapter 22 verse 6, and it says, "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." I'm going to hone in on this. These words are faithful and true. These words are faithful and true. These words are faithful and true. This is the word of God. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent who? His angel. To what? Show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Which must shortly take place. Not maybe. It's gonna take place. There is going to be that place. And the Lord knows when that place is. He knows. Just because we don't know doesn't mean he doesn't know. And our final verse, I love it. One of my favorites is Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And it reads, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not by many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" See, again, here they are together, and Jesus gives a commandment. He said, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Don't leave Jerusalem. That's a place. Don't leave this place and go to another place. Why? Because this promise is going to happen in Jerusalem, that place of Jerusalem. Because if it wasn't going to happen there, why did he tell them to stay? He could have just said, "Oh, just go ahead and go." He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Why? To wait on the promise of the Father, which he had said. And then he begins to tell them about the promise. He said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So I want you to picture a baptism. And then we're baptized, we're dunked under the water, and we're brought back up. This verse says, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now you picture that. You being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wow. And then he says, "Not many days from now." But see, that's where we can get caught up. When the Lord says not many days from now, our many days from now is going to be different from what he says from not many days from now. See, not many days from now in our mind can mean 1-2 days. Why? Because we want it now. We want it now. When the Lord says not many days from now, that's what he means. And it's based off of what he says, not what we think and how we feel about when it should happen. No, it's going to happen when he says it's going to happen. Right? Because when we go to that when we move on in Acts, we see that it did come when it was supposed to come, according to when the Lord sent it. But don't miss this. They had to be in that place. That place. And then they go and ask him, hey, will you restore Israel at this time? In this verse right here, I love it because it really helps keep me, you know, well grounded. It helps keep me focused on him. Because it says, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, which means he don't have to talk to you before he does it. He's not going to consult with you before this takes place. Jesus says, it is not for you to know. So if he says, it's not for you to know, then guess what? It's not for you to know. There's just some things it's not for you to know. There's just some things it's not for us to know. It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. His own authority. Doesn't have to check in with mankind. You think he had to check in with mankind before he sent Jesus? No. No, they had that talk way before the sand even went down. Verse 6, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, it takes the focus off. Stop thinking about and worrying about when God's going to do this. You just be ready to receive what's coming. Ooh, that's a word right there. Stop thinking about how, when the Lord's going to do it, and get yourself in a receiving position, because it's going to come upon you. Hallelujah. And he says, and you shall be witnesses to who? Him. Witnesses to me. Not yourselves. Witnesses to me. Where? Jerusalem. That's a place. Judea. That's a place. Samaria. That's a place. To the end of the earth. A place. That place. That place. And we're going to wrap it up with these final four scriptures, or these final four verses taken from what we just read. But you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That represents that place of faith while waiting. It is not for you to know the times or seasons. That place of the unknown to you, not God the Father. Unknown to you and I, but not God the Father. He knows everything. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's that place of faith while waiting again. That place of faith while waiting. And the last one, you shall be witnesses to me. That place of faith in action. That place of faith in action. And I'll go through it one more time. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's that place of faith while waiting. It is not for you to know the times or seasons. That's that place of the unknown to you, but not God the Father. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's that place of faith while waiting. And our last one, you shall be witnesses to me. That's that place of faith and action. Prayers of healing, wholeness, increase, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word to you all. God bless you and yours. Pastor Tyron, signing off.